talking about this Ten Commandments being done away. What are you saying? That's... What are you saying? And I say to you, it is indeed true. The Ten Commandments have been done away with. So are you saying that it's okay to kill? No. Have you been listening? The ministration of the Spirit puts it into our hearts that we know not only that it's wrong to kill, but that we won't want to kill. It is not in us to murder and to hate like that. No, thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. It is right to hate evil and love good. But there is a righteousness which the Spirit of God teaches us. We should not hate our brothers or our neighbors or even our enemies. We hate evil. And pity evildoers. For they are to be pitied. Now, we have such hope. We use great plainness of speech. I love this verse because I think Paul speaks so plainly. It's not like the book of Revelation. Or even Christ who spoke in parables. And many people have no idea what Christ teaches because they have no understanding of parables. And it's funny to watch even to this day. Because I can tell who can hear and who cannot. But just by how they try to teach a parable. Because I can say, well, he doesn't understand anything. Paul uses great plainness of speech. And still, it is like a riddle to people. That's beautiful. And I think that's by design, of course. But he's speaking plainly here. That which is done away was glorious. That which remains is glorious. That old covenant way of thinking, of commandments and stuff, it's done away. If you're still trying to please God that way, you are in error. You cannot please God by your, I would say it is good to strive. And the Ten Commandments, it doesn't mean it's okay to kill now. It just means that's not how we become righteous. We become righteous not by the Ten Commandments, but by the Spirit of God. Because in fact, you can't become righteous by Ten Commandments. I mean, they won't help you get there. And you can argue with me, but that's the word. It's the ministration of death. That's what it ends up doing. It kills people. All the people under the Ten Commandments in that covenant, the only way they were saved was by the mercy of God. Because the commandments only condemned. I mean, look at David. All the things that... Adultery, murder. The only reason they could even speak of him being raised in the last days is because of the mercy of God. That's it. Everyone's saved by God's mercy. But it's what we're given that is beautiful. We're given this ministration of righteousness. Not the ministration of condemnation and death. But ministration whereby we become, we go from faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness. We go on, we progress, we add to our faith, temperance to temperance, knowledge to knowledge, faith, etc. Keep adding, adding. Verse 13, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. I mean, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's just what I was saying. We are go from glory to glory, meaning from one glory unto greater glory, from one righteousness unto greater righteousness, from one faith unto greater faith, from glory to glory, not from glory to sin to glory to sin. Meaning going backwards. though, you know, I want to say, we go from glory to glory. One glory is minor. It's like the law. There's a certain amount of glory to the law. Administration of righteousness is even greater. But don't be discouraged in your walk. Move on. Keep on. Pray to the Lord. Seek Him. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. He will not forsake you. But if you don't seek Him, it's manifest that He's not looking for you. Because if He was looking for you, He would cause you to seek Him. So if you're seeking Him, He's behind it. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. They could not look to the end of that which is abolished. They couldn't see fully what was this was about. You know, these commandments, you know, they could read plain enough, thou shalt not kill. But what does it all mean, really? And there's something deeper to the things God does with humanity, the relationship He has towards man. I mean, what is it really all about? What's God really up to? They couldn't look into that. Their minds were blinded. They couldn't see that this is the ministration of death. And the same veil is untaken away. When they read the Old Testament, and some people in reading the New Testament, they still read it the same way, with a veil over their head, and they don't realize it. Because they just don't see clearly. But in Christ is done away. Well, Paul, wait a second. You said it, some people in the New Testament, but you said in Christ. Well, I tell you what, there be many who name the name of Christ who are not of Christ and not in Christ. And so as they read the New Testament, there's a veil over their heads. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is on their hearts. And even when you read the New Testament, for some people who haven't really entered into the New Covenant through faith, they still read the New Testament with a veil. Their minds being blinded. Now the Lord is that Spirit. When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Meaning when God can take this away. You know, when it shall turn to the Lord, when it truly turns toward Christ and who He is. When their minds are turned to Him. And I don't just mean, oh, I'm going to think about Jesus. I mean when it really turns to Him. When they really turn to Him. When God draws them to Himself. Then the veil is removed. I had the veil taken away from my eyes. I think for the first 10 years of my walk, till about 2005, I walked with a veil over my head in reading the Bible. I was studying it and reading it, and there was a veil there. The glory of the truth had not entered into my mind. And no one had ever even declared it to me. No one had ever declared it to me.